What a prospect. The outward look may be bleak, but the upward look is bright. The night is far spent. Daybreak is at hand. And we are not going to see the Pope, not the President, not any king, but we are going to see our precious Lord face to face. May that hope be an anchor for our souls even today, that we would see everything in this earth from heaven's perspective. We are heading home. Thank you, dear sisters, Mary and Julie and Esther and Margaret and Rose and Jean. What a challenge for my own heart. I may not see many things, and I may not see many people, but it will be worth it all when I see Jesus. Oh, you ignite a fire in my bones this morning, because it's a reality. It's not a fantasy. It's not a fable. It is a fact. It is not rest on changing scenes, but it's rest on God's unchanging word. And his promise will never fail. You know, I was looking through this song, and it is so precious. It covers the whole spectrum. And first of all, I want us to know, well, I shouldn't even start preaching yet, but it is so sweet from this song that God is a providing God. And he said here, the song, hoping to see him, at thousands were fed. He is not only a providing God. Doesn't matter what your needs are today, God will provide. And then he has power to open blind eyes. What a person for us, as they sang. He touched the blind eyes. He healed the broken spirit. He moved with compassion. And he even raised the dead. You might be here today and you're spiritually dead. Or you might be a Christian, but you're dead. Not enjoying the full life, but Jesus Christ by his Spirit will quicken us today and make us alive. And if you're without Christ, you're dead in trespass and sin, but he's able to quicken you. You can hear the voice of the Son of God when the dead shall rise. And if you're dead in your sins, you can hear his voice and come alive for God. Oh, this is so sweet. And he gathered them. They look at him as he was crucified. They look at him as he died. They looked at him as he rose again. They look at him as he ascended. And hallelujah. They look at the fact that we're going to see him. Not as he was. I'm going to talk a little more on that. But not as he is. Let us read a few verses. In the book of John, the gospel according to John, chapter 12. And that's not my message. I'm just touching here to condense a little bit, but in John chapter 12, in verse 20, just a few verses, that is in the gospel according to John chapter 12, and reading from verse 20. I think you've got it now. Okay, very good. And there were certain Greeks among them that came up to worship at the feast. The same came therefore to Philip, which was of Bethsaida of Galilee, and desired him, saying, "So we would see Jesus." We would see Jesus. And Philip cometh and telleth Andrew, and again Andrew and Philip tell Jesus. And Jesus answered them, saying, "The hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified." And we will leave it there in the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 9. But I'll read perhaps chapter 1, a few verses there. Hebrews chapter 1, and then we'll go to the verse that I want to read. Hebrews chapter 1. And a few verses there. Hebrews chapter 1. And reading from verse 1. God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, or in Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, or the ages, who being the brightness of his glory, and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high, being made so much better than the angels, as he had by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. Hebrews chapter 2, in the same book, 2, in verse 9, just read a few verses here. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he by the grace of God should taste death for every man. For it became him for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through suffering. In the same chapter, verse 14, for as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. For verily he took not in him the nature of angels, but he took in him the seed of Abraham. Wherefore, in all things it behoved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. For in that he himself has suffered, being tempted, he is able to succor them that are tempted. And now finally in 1 John, that's in little John at the back, the epistle of John, in 1 John chapter 3. And we'll read from verse 1 to verse 3. From verse 1. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons or the children of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons or children of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And everyone that had this hope in him purified himself even as he is pure. Let's just pray. Our God and our Father, we acknowledge our weaknesses, our feebleness, but we know the power is of you. And we ask now that the Holy Spirit will speak this message through this weak vessel, and you would affect lives for eternity, and you would get all the praise and all the glory in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. We're living in very difficult times, and there are so many things that the enemy seems to be working on. And if we were to put it in a little condensation package, it would be one of division. The enemy is working in dividing the hearts of people, even Christians, where they're partly committed and partly not committed, a divided heart. He's working in dividing marital relationships. The number is increasing. He's working on dividing families. We have so many families are experiencing the emptiness, and some are experiencing the distance of loved ones. He's working, the enemy is working in dividing even Christians' gatherings, Christians' fellowship. He is working on dividing the nation. But I want to say today that God wants us to know that we can see Jesus. And this is why we want to see that Jesus is superior to all others, and he is higher than every situation that we face. And that's why the message today is simply Hebrews 2:9. With all the distractions, with all the difficulties, I want you to remember these words. But we see Jesus. That's the message. But we see Jesus. Now we have, I'm going to condense so I don't keep you for the whole day. But I just love to have you together when we can experience the presence of the Lord in our midst. So in Luke chapter 12, we were reminded of the fact that's a plea from the Greeks. The Jewish folks had gathered together and some Greeks came up and they were there to Passover. But they saw the others and the disciples and they saw the Lord Jesus, what he had accomplished. And they said to Philip, we desire to see Jesus. That's the plea. And many people like Zacchaeus want to see Jesus. And many are climbing up other trees to see Jesus. But I want you to know, Jesus sees you where you are. And so that's the plea. So we would see Jesus. But when you come to Hebrews 2:9, that's the privilege of the believer. We see Jesus. I don't know who you see today, but if by faith you see Jesus, it is worth it all. And we're going to see who he is. We're going to see that he's superior to all. But not only we had a plea, we want to see Jesus. Not only people are craving to see Jesus in us and to see who Jesus really is, but those who know him, thank God, we now see Jesus. By faith. By faith we look above and crowned with brightest glory see. Oh, thyself, Lord Jesus, by man once crowned with thorns. And here they say, remember me. Oh, there is a man. What a privilege. But now, not only the plea that people want to see Jesus, not only the privilege of believers that we now see Jesus, but the prospect we are going to see him face to face in all of his glory. Oh, what a day, what a joy that is, brothers and sisters. So we want you to see what in Luke, you know, it is presented. They went and they told each other, and the Lord Jesus, he said to them, you know, the death, let me read it in Luke 12. Oh, glory to God. It is a wonderful thing when we can see our Lord Jesus and how he responds. John chapter 12 and verse 20. But this touched my life this morning as I was reading it. He said they came and they desired, saying we would see Jesus. But this is what touched me in verse 23. Jesus answered them saying, the hour is come that the Son of Man should be. And if I were writing this, if someone else was the one writing this, they would say, the hour has come that I would be crucified. He was going to be crucified. He was going to the cross. He was even explaining to them the fact that it's like a corn of wheat that falls into the ground and die. But that's not what he said. He said, the hour is come that the Son of Man should be not crucified. Yes, he's going to be crucified. But he said that he should be glorified. He looked beyond Golgotha and he saw the glory awaiting him. Hallelujah. You know what? How do you go through suffering? How do you respond when your world is caving in? When everything is falling apart, what do you do? How do you respond? I tell you the secret. Jesus said it all. And our beloved brother Sim read it this morning for us in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 2. He said, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and he sat down on the right hand of God. Instead of Jesus weeping and becoming depressed and distressed over going to the cross, he looked beyond the cross and he saw the glory and he saw the joy that was awaiting him, that one day, even today, there'll be a group of believers in Brooksville, Florida, who would worship and praise him. He saw that as he was going to the cross. Brothers and sisters, I want to tell you, when you're going through a difficulty, when you're going through situations where you feel like the world is falling apart, I want you to be able to see Jesus. And as you see him, you're going to see that there is joy ahead for us. There may be sorrow, there may be suffering. There is no, let me say this, there is no glory without suffering. There is no fruitful life without dying to self. And there is no victory without a battle. No victory without surrendering. Oh, so the Lord Jesus, he went through. Now in Hebrews chapter 1. We want to get to 2:9, but Hebrews chapter 1, I just want you to know today. Hebrews chapter 1. Let me just say that here it is. You know, the book of Hebrews is written primarily to the Jewish folks, to the Hebrews there. But the teachings in the book of Hebrews is applicable for all believers. It is written. Do you know who is the author for Hebrews? Oh, you might be going through a whole thing. I tell you very simple. Don't waste no time. The author for Hebrews is the Holy Spirit. Therefore, all others fall behind a second hand. And you don't have to worry about the date. You see, Jesus Christ, when he is presented, this is why in Philippians, Paul would never use the title apostle in Philippians. Why not? Because Jesus Christ, hallelujah, he's presented as the servant. And Paul would never set himself above Jesus. Amen? And so in Hebrews, he is presented as the author. And finisher, he's the apostle of our calling. And so Paul would never put anything there. We don't have to worry about Paul and others who might have written this. We know the Holy Spirit has written this book. And that rests the case. And so he was writing to the Hebrews. And he was telling them that God has spoken. He's, brothers and sisters, God is speaking. Are we listening? We thank God, we serve a God who speaks. Not one who is dumb. Not one who looks like a God. You know, I was in India, I saw some beautiful statues, you know. And I wouldn't forget it, it registered in my mind. As we, Pam and I, were traveling down the road. And the traffic was just piling up. There was no alternative route. And they were carrying this God. And they were pointing and doing so many things, weeping or doing so many things for this God. And I remember preaching there. Now I said, I observe in the land of India, I observe today many people carrying their gods. But I have a God who carries us. Amen. They will come to the point where their God, they were speaking to their God, but there was no response. But we have a God today who speaks, brothers and sisters. How does he speak? Do you know in Hebrews here? How does he speak? He speaks not only to the prophets. He said in times past he spoke unto the prophets. you know, and unto the fathers. But now, he's speaking in song. You see, a prophet had to speak for God. But Jesus Christ, he is God, manifest in flesh. And he is the greatest messenger. He's the last messenger. And he is the greatest message, Jesus Christ. God has spoken in his Son. He is superior. Brothers and sisters, I just want to point out a few things for you. He says here in verse 2, in the last days, he's spoken to us in Son. Number one, he has appointed heir of all things. Number two, by whom he has made the world. Number three, who being the brightness of his glory, the express image of his person, upholding all things by the word of his power. I couldn't get beyond that this morning. I was walking around. I felt so happy. I felt so joyful. I just couldn't get it out of my mind. See, this God, he, brothers and sisters, he is powerful. He said here, he made the worlds. And you know, the world, see, I look it up in a commentary, and what it means is the ages. Meaning he not only made the world, but he made everything for a purpose. And that's what I want to share with you today. You may be down and out. It doesn't matter who you are, what you are. Don't allow the enemy to tell you you're not good enough. Don't let the enemy tell you, oh, you can't do this or that. I want you to know God can make you to do what he wants you to do, regardless of the forces against you. Now, of course, we must accept our limits. If I were to say, well, put me on the list to play the piano, I would know how to turn on the power, and I would know something about the light coming on, but I wouldn't know how to play it. So we got to know what God wants us to do and be willing to do what he wants us to do. But he made the world. He said, remember in the Gospel of John chapter 1, he says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him. And without him was not anything made. Brothers and sisters, he made the world. He fashioned the world. But it's one thing to make the world, but to hold it together. Hallelujah. That takes power, brothers and sisters. To make the world, he spoke the word, and the world came into existence. But to hold the world together, that takes power. And you know what it is? He said here, upholding all things by the word of his power. Ladies and gentlemen, I want you to know God has a purpose for your life. I want you to know he has power for you to accomplish his will as you yield to him. Oh, he upholds the world by the word of his power. If he upholds the world, brothers and sisters, he can uphold any life that the enemy wants to pull down. He can uphold any marriage that the enemy wants to divide. He can uphold any family because he is the one who glues together by his power and his love. Oh, you remember in Colossians chapter 1, you remember, and I believe verse 17, remember he says, all things, by him all things consist. He's before all things, and by him all things consist, meaning all things are held together. He is the one. The Lord showed me this morning, Jesus Christ is the one who is going to hold my life together, even when the enemy would come in to tear me apart. He's the one who's going to hold my marriage and my family together. And he's the one who's going to hold his people, the assembly, together. Not by might, nor by power, but by his Spirit. And he is the one, beloved brothers and sisters, we want to focus upon. And so he said here, do you know how we know that he holds the world together? Do you know how we know, how we understand, how the world comes together? Do you know? You read it in Hebrews chapter 11, and verse 3. Let's look at it, because you need to know that. Hebrews chapter 11. And verse 3, I was going to quote it, but it's good to know, brothers and sisters, because people think you're crazy. How can you think of a God holding the world together? How could you understand that? What science are you studying? What subjects are you looking at? But here he says, through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen are not made of things which do appear. Through faith, brothers and sisters, faith is a higher faculty than reasoning. When we anchor our faith in God, we can see things on the earth from heaven's perspective. Oh, here he said, now that is the power of God. The awesome power. Do you know Satan has power? But do you know Satan has no authority? Satan has power, but Satan has no authority, brothers and sisters. No. He has power to do many things. He's the prince and power of the air. He's the God of this world. But Jesus said to his own, all authority is given unto me in heaven and in earth. When he moved, the people wondered. He spoke with authority. And you and I who belong to Jesus Christ, we have authority in the name of Jesus. Brothers and sisters, we don't have to allow any foul spirit to enter into our hearts or our home in the assembly, because there's power in the name of Jesus. Amen. And we shall overcome by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of our testimony, and not counting our lives dear unto us. Are you an overcomer today? This is so sweet, but I got to get to the message. It's getting late. It's chapter 2 and verse 9. Hallelujah. In chapter 2, verse 9. Well, just before you leave, one, you want to see here that not only the power of his love, of his the power that he manifested by his word in creating things, but the power of his love. He says in 1:3 that when he had by himself purged our sins. Now in Hebrews 2:9, our message is, we see Jesus. Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 9. He says here, but we see Jesus. Brothers and sisters, I want to tell you, he's the only one. You know, in Proverbs it says, the eye is never satisfied with sin. But when we see Jesus, we are satisfied. He's the only one who can fill our vision. That's why the sisters were singing about him. He rose to the heavens. So very briefly here he said, we see Jesus who was made a little lower than the angels. And I want you to get the word here. The word little is not speaking about angels here. He's speaking, he was made like the angels for a little while. Just a little while. That's what it means. Just for a little while. You see, God sent his son to be the savior of the world. Jesus didn't become like an angel. He is better than angels. He's beyond that, brothers and sisters. Angels are servant, but Jesus is son. Angels are created, but Jesus is creator. Angels are sent to serve, but Jesus is sovereign. Oh, he is beyond compare. He can only be contrasted. And so he said, for a little while, he became lower than the angels. Had he become like an angel? Oh, he would never lift. He could only have lifted us up to be like angels. He could never have identified with us. But he came down to our level, that he might take us up to his level. He became man. And so he said here, he came for the suffering of death. I want to tell you, beloved brothers and sisters, I know where some religion get it, where they're going to purgatory. But that, you know what it means in John, in Hebrews 1 verse 3? He made purgation. Not he went into purgatory. He made purgation for our sin. That means that he came and he not only identified with us, but he suffered on the cross for our sins. And he has put away sins by the sacrifice of himself. And so here he was. We see the Lord Jesus here as the one, the condescending one who became a little one. Our brother read it in Philippians 2 for us this morning, so we don't have to go over it again, but just want to remind you that Jesus Christ in Philippians 2, 5, what our brother read, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of man. Jesus became like us without sin. And so he died for us, brothers and sisters. We see Jesus not only as the contrasting one who is beyond all others and who is higher than all others, but we see him as the crucified one for the suffering of death. But we see him now not only as the contrasting one. Jesus cannot be compared, by the way. If you're preaching, never compare Jesus with any other. Amen? Amen. He is beyond comparison. He can only be contrasted because he is so great. And so here he said, for the suffering of death, the Lord Jesus, he suffered for us, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God. And then we see him now, not only as the conquering Christ, where he went into death and he conquered death, hell, and the grave. I am so glad, as our brother Dave reminded us, he's a living Savior. A dead Savior cannot save anyone, but he's alive. And he will never die again. This is why when Satan rolls that stone upon you and you feel the weight and you begin to feel a little depressed, you want to remind yourself that Jesus Christ has removed that stone. You want to remind yourself that death could not have kept him down in the ground. He arose. And no power on earth, when you know the resurrected power of Jesus Christ, no power on earth can keep you down. Yes, you may feel down. The best of us can get down. David, a man after God's own heart, he was depressed. Oh, Elijah was depressed. Jonah wanted to give up. But I want to tell you now we have one, Jesus Christ, who has overcome. And he says to you and to me, you shall overcome. He said in John 16:33, in me, you'll have peace. In this world, you'll have tribulations, trials. He said, but be of good cheer. I have overcome. And the one who has overcome, he is with us. He is in us. Christ in us, the hope of glory. Brothers and sisters, you know one of the tricks of the enemy? One of the tricks of the enemy that's affecting thousands of Christians today? Satan always wants to hold up the past. And he always wants to make you feel guilty and powerless. He wants you to dwell on the pain, whether it be rejection, whether it be some sort of situation, and you forget all his kindness or the kindness of the person. And so he wants you to be driving your car, just looking into your rearview mirror, so that you will crash. But I want to tell you today, we see Jesus, and he's lifted up high. Brothers and sisters, here, and we see him now not only as the crucified Christ, not only as the conquering Christ over death, but we see him as the crowned Christ in glory. There is a man in the glory, Jesus Christ, and there is glory in that man. Glory to God. I wish I can come and really make it known, but the Holy Spirit has to do that. Brothers and sisters, there is a man in the glory. And there is glory in that man. And you and I are identified with that man. And we are seated positionally in the heavens, far above principalities and powers and every name that is named. Every trick of the enemy must fall low when Jesus is lifted up high. And so he said he's crowned with glory and honor. I got to close. But he says in John, in 1 John chapter 3, John writing, you know, hallelujah, it is so sweet. Oh, I tell you, it is sweet to know Jesus. I'm glad that day when he took me, when he called me, you know, I have no regret. I know our God is a providing God. Oh, there were tough times when God called me. in 98 to give up my practice when it was flourishing, things were going well, and I had a lot of materialistic goals. But when the one who died for me and lived for me and called me to serve him, I surrendered and I said, Lord, I'm yours forever. And I want to tell you, he has never failed me yet. He's never failed us yet. I want you to know, John said here in 1 John, behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us. You see, in John 3:16, he says, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. That is the love for sinners, brothers and sisters. That's the love for sinners. And as our brother pointed, we were all sinners, and we are sinners saved by his grace. But when you come to 1 John, he's not talking about sinners here. He's talking about sons and daughters in his family. Behold, what manner of love the Father had bestowed upon us. Brothers and sisters, we are in the family of God. Don't let the Satan come in to divide our hearts, to disappoint us, to distract us. Let us keep our eyes upon Jesus Christ. And the more we are attracted to Christ, the less we'll be distracted by the enemy and his powers down below. And so he said, what manner of love the Father bestowed upon that we should be called the children of God. The world doesn't understand. How could you be? You have such a little status. How can you have such a relationship? Ah, it's all by his grace. He says, it does not yet appear what we shall be. But we know. Not that we think. Not that we hope. You know, with all the things that are going on, I was there startled for a while. As I was just really watching the various conflicts, I came to the point of realizing that, you know, for the believer, there may be conflicts within and conflicts without. But you know what it says in Romans 8:28? For we know that all things work together for good to them who love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. It never says, for we see all things. Amen? It does not say, we see all things work for good. But he said, we know. Because why? God has a purpose. And in the end, he will make it and turn it around for our good. Brothers and sisters, he said, we shall not only see him. Oh, what a joy. Face to face, we shall behold him. What a joy. That should affect me here and now. That we are going to see him, and we're not going to see him as he was. That's not what it says. He's the same Jesus, by the way. He's the same person, but not as he was. Where he was tired and he sat in a well. Where he was thirsty and got a drink. Where he was tired and slept on a ship. No. He said, we are not going to see him as he was. We are going to see him as he is, as the resurrected, glorified Lord. And we are going to have a glorified body. So we are going to be not Jesus, but we are going to be like him without any sin. Brothers and sisters, the future is bright. I am glad there may not be room in the White House for me. But I want you to know, and they may not receive me into the White House, but I want you to know, my Jesus is taking us to the Father's house. And there is room for everyone. Amen. And he said, Jesus said, don't let your heart be troubled with all that's going on. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you will be. Brothers and sisters, we are going to something far better than the White House. We are going to the Father's house. In the White House, there are sickness and suffering and sorrow. But in my Father's house, there'll be joy, joy, joy. Until then, may God stir us up that you and I might surrender all to Christ. If you're here, brothers and sisters, and you know the Lord Jesus, but you haven't come to grips with the fact of focusing your vision on Jesus Christ. Today is the time to do that. And if you're listening to my voice and you do not know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you're living in a dangerous moment. You're about to step on a banana peel that can land you in a lost eternity without God and without hope and without Christ. But He's rescuing the perishing today. He cares for the dying. And you might be an institution, you might be at home, you may be somewhere, but if you would call on the name of the Lord, He will save you. If you will turn to Him just as you are, not what you have done, but what He has done for you, there's room at the cross for you. May God help us, each one of us, those who know Him, that we'll be ignited with a passion to know that we're heading home and we want to live today in light of eternity. And if you don't know Him, may this be your moment of decision for Jesus Christ, for His name's sake.